That Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in a very sweet voice, he makes these requests as he travels throughout the land of Nadia, just begging everyone to chant the holy names. In his last words in this song, Ekpa Nam Rasa Matare, he says, just once relish the holy names. Now, what does it mean to just once relish the holy names? Bhaktivinod Thakur is speaking from his own experience, begging everyone to do this. But what does it mean? I found a conversation where one devotee asks one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers if he ever met Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. And that godbrother, he responded in this way. No, I didn't have any personal contact with him. But I met someone who had contact with him. There was one Parvat Maharaj who, before he was a sannyasi, he lived next door to Bhaktivinod Thakur when he passed his old age in Godrum. Parvat Maharaj said that there was only a partition wall between his house and the house of Bhaktivinod Thakur, a small wall. And this was in Surabhi Kunj. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Surabhi Kunj. That is where it was. From about 3 o'clock in the morning, Bhaktivinod Thakur would rise and he would begin chanting the name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra, at the top of his voice. Parvat Maharaj described it like this. Although he was calling to someone from afar, with this spirit, Bhaktivinod Thakur would chant the holy name. And that Parvat Maharaj was astonished to see his chanting. There was a cement chair, and when Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur felt tired, he sat in that chair and rested there a while. And then, after some time, he would again begin wandering in the garden, chanting at the top of his voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. With such animation in his voice, he was calling. He was calling a person with this spirit, and not in a formal way, but only with a hankering. He was calling for the Lord. And then he continues. There was another thing I also heard about Bhaktivinod Thakur from another source, Ram Gopal Vidyabhusan, MA and barrister at law. Ram Gopal Vidyabhusan told me, once we went to visit him, we had heard that a government officer, an educated man, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur was the district magistrate in Puri and other places, we had heard that such an educated man, important man, had become a Vaishnava Babaji. So we went to see him. And someone amongst us asked him, please speak something about Krishna and Krishna Nam, the holy name of Krishna. After a moment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then said, oh, you want to hear something about Krishna? That is what you want? You want to hear about Krishna Nam? In this way, he continued for some time. Krishna, you want to hear about Krishna and Krishna's holy names? You are so fortunate. You have come to hear about Krishna Nam. Then, the consequence of that inquiry, just by asking the question of him, had such an influence on the body of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and on his mind. Now, there is a reference to a song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur here, the influence of the holy names. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was experiencing what I'm going to read right now, which is the last song in his Sharanagati. This song is, practically speaking, a commentary on a verse from the Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Puna Sudo Nitya Mukta Abhina Tvam Namanamano, describing the liberated, pure, and holy, incredibly potent, unlimited ability of the holy name of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was experiencing this, and he exhibited the symptoms that are going to be described here. Please listen to the capacity of the holy names of Krishna. How much power, this is the song, does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in a fire of worldly desires, like a desert scorched by the sun. The holy name entering within my heart through the holes of my ears showers unparalleled nectar upon the soul. The holy name speaks from within my heart, moves on the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up, my body violently trembles, and my feet dance and move uncontrollably. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes. Perspiration pours from my body. My body thrills with rapture, causing my hair to stand on end and my skin to become pale and discolored. My mind grows faint and I begin to experience devastation. My entire body is shattered in a flood of ecstasies. While causing such an ecstatic disturbance, the holy name showers liquid nectar on my heart and drowns me in the ocean of divine love of God. He does not allow me to understand anything, for he has made me truly mad and has stolen away my heart and all my wealth. Such is the behavior of him, the holy name, who is now my only shelter. I am not capable of describing all this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and thus acts at his own sweet will in whatever way he becomes happy. That is also my way of happiness. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love, the abode of devotion's wonderful mellows. Such is the power that he manifests, that although he displays his power only slightly, he reveals his own divine form and qualities. He steals my heart and takes it to Krishna. Being fully manifest, the holy name takes me to Braja and reveals to me his own love dalliance, the pastimes of C.C. Radha and Krishna. His Abhina Tvam Namanamano, Krishna, and Krishna's name are the same. He keeps me near Krishna and completely destroys this mortal material frame of mine, this body. The name of Krishna is a touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows, eternally liberated, and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the external symptoms he was manifesting due to his internal experience. The questioning and conversation continues. That gentleman, Ram Gopal Vidyabhusan, said, "I saw with my own eyes that all these symptoms were displayed in his body and mind simply upon hearing our inquiry." Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "You are so fortunate. You have come to hear Krishna Nam from me. Krishna, Krishna." In this way, he entered another domain, another world, and so many symptoms and expressions appeared in his body and mind. Convulsions, tears, all these things. I heard this from an eyewitness. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered another domain just by being asked a question about the holy name that brought him into the spiritual world. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness, to bring us to another domain, because this domain, not this one, Varsana, but the domain that we live in with material consciousness is actually a horrible domain. It is horrible because it presents us with so many promises and so many hopes for happiness, for love, for true natural existence. But because it is a false domain, it disappoints us continually and continually and continually. And it presents us, even worse than the disappointments that it awards us with, the material existence presents us with unlimited false hopes for happiness. And what happens is, on top of the unhappiness that our experience gives us, it presents us with a hope that only if I have this that I don't have now, then that which I am searching for will be awarded to me. And this hope, this false hope, keeps us wandering in the material world, practically speaking, forever. What we wish to provide an opportunity for all of you and myself too, is a different kind of hope. And Maharaj also, is a different kind of hope. A hope in the holy names and a hope in the mercy of the holy names and our acharyas, and here in Varsanadham, a hope in the mercy of Srimati Radharani, which of course is represented through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Vaishnavas, all our acharyas. We want to leave this domain. Not this meaning Barsana domain. We want to leave the domain of the material world and enter into spiritual consciousness, which means love for Krishna. This, and the method of doing this, is chanting Krishna's names. And this is what all our acharyas wish to tell us. That we should take shelter of Krishna's names as our only hope, as our treasure, and as our life. I would like to now read and tell a few different pastimes just to illustrate that this is the process of Krishna consciousness. And as we will hear Srila Jiva Goswami saying in one of Prabhupada's purports, that any other process of Krishna consciousness that we may practice, it should be accompanied by the holy names. But it is not, as Maharaj said, as Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur showed by his example, and as certainly what we will speak about and experience in the next few days, it is not a mechanical process. We are dealing with a person, and that person is Krishna, and that person is Nam Prabhu, the holy names of Krishna. Now, what stops us from entering into that another domain? There is a story or a pastime that is related in Chaitanya Charitamrita of one great soul who met Mahaprabhu, and he also met Srila Rupa Goswami. Because when Srila Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan, this soul whose name was Subhudi Roy was already in Vrindavan. And how did he get to Vrindavan? And by the way, as I put together these few quotations, and I saw that there is in a little thing from Prabhupada's books, there is a mine of instructions and inspiration. If you hear anything that you can take and capture and apply it to your life from the words and instructions here, that is so fortunate, because we are here in this place to hear about the holy names of Krishna. And we can actually expect mercy from Srimati Radharani, from the holy names, to come to us. We can expect this. Really, mercy is always coming to us. But we don't know how to see it. And this is going to be one of the tasks that we will record in the notebooks that we've been given, is any time during these days, any time you perceive some hint of mercy coming to you by the mercy of Sri Barsana Dham, by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, some inspiration, write it down, keep it, value it. So Subhudi Roy was a wealthy Jamindar. What does Jamindar mean? Landholder. Jomi means the land, Dara means he holds it. A wealthy, wealthy landholder. And when he was going about his landholder business, he had a servant whose name was Hussein Shah. Or here it is said, Hussein Khan. And this Hussein Khan was very intelligent and a good organizer. Later on, he became the Nawab, the head of all of Bengal, West Bengal. So at this time, he was just a boy. And Subhudi Roy took care of him just like his own son. But one time, he gave Hussein Shah a big responsibility to excavate a huge lake. And somehow or another, he found some fault in how he did it, and he took a whip and beat him one time. And that beating left a scar. But Hussein Shah had only love and admiration for Subhuti Roy, who had taken care of him just like a father. But later on, somehow or another, he was made the head of West Bengal, this Hussein Shah. And how did he treat Subhuti Roy? He increased his wealth and gave him all types of facilities because he was grateful. But one time, Hussein Shah, he had his shirt off, and his wife saw the scar there, and she asked him, where did the scar come from? And he told the story how Subhuti Roy had beaten him. And she said, you kill him now for doing this to you. And Subhuti Roy, Hussein Shah said, no, he treated me like a father. She said, kill him now, kill him now. And again, day after day, she said, kill him, kill him, kill him. And he didn't know what to do. He had no enmity in his heart for Subhuti Roy, but his wife was insisting. So she said, I know what to do. You should convert him forcibly into a Muslim, Mohammedan, to Islam. And he said, that in and of itself will kill him, because he's such a pious Hindu. You do something. You do it now. She pushed and pushed. So finally, he took some water from his water pot, water that had been drunk from by a Muslim, and he sprinkled it upon Subhuti Roy and said, now you're a Muslim. And he didn't know what to do. But he took advantage of this because he was a great devotee at heart. He left home immediately. He gave up everything. And he went to Benares. And in Benares, he asked one set of Brahmins after another, what shall I do? I've been given this reaction. Now they say I'm a Muslim. What should I do? And some of them even said, some of the Brahmins said, you should drink hot boiling ghee and die, and that way you can atone. And others said, no, it's not a big thing. Don't worry about it. And one would say one thing, and another would say another thing. And then, by divine grace, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in Benares. And he asked Mahaprabhu what to do. And this was what Mahaprabhu replied. Go to Vrindavan and chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly. Begin chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And when your chanting is almost pure, all your sinful reactions will go away. Our suffering. Our sufferings at this time is due to this one thing. Of course, Krishna's mercy, his merciful hand is there for devotees. But it is due to reactions. What's the verse? Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjane vapmakripavabhakam. Krishna's hand is there, but it is our reactions. So if you chant, when your chanting is almost pure, all your sinful reactions will go far away. And after you chant perfectly, you will get shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And when you are situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, no sinful reactions can touch you. And this is the best solution to all sinful activities and sinful reactions. So Mahaprabhu himself advised in this way. Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Jiva Goswami from Anti Lila chapter 4, text 71. He says, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu gives the following directions in Bhakti Sandarbha. Chanting the holy names is the chief means of attaining love of Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one's having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, He can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities, because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains the complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Now, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there was one point after he was married the first time. To whom? To whom? Lakshmi Priya. So he went to East Bengal, and he gathered wealth there, and he gathered many, many, many students as well. And there was one Brahmana whose name was Tapan Misra, who was very, very exalted, very pure, a devotee, but he was lost spiritually. He did not know what the goal of life was, and he didn't know the exact means to attain that goal. So he was in so much anxiety about this. He was in anxiety because he could not attain perfection ultimately in Krishna consciousness. Anxiety. One night while Mahaprabhu was in East Bengal, he had a dream. And in that dream, a Brahmana came to him and said, "Don't worry, don't be in anxiety. There is a person nearby whose name is Nimai Pandit. And this person is not ordinary. He's not even extraordinary. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should go to him and you should put your request to him and he will reveal everything to you." So immediately when he woke up from this dream, he went to where the demigod effulgent-like person said Nimai Pandit would be. And he saw Nimai Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of disciples. Now, what do you think he did? Does anyone know? Huh? Yes. But what he did specifically is he went in the midst of all these devotees and who were surrounding Mahaprabhu and grabbed Mahaprabhu's feet, placed them to his head, and he begged him. He told him his questions: what is the goal of my life? Who is where is the supreme perfection? What is the ultimate I can achieve? There was no shyness, actually, no hesitancy. But it was real, it wasn't imitation. And how can I achieve this? And Mahaprabhu, he answered, "O Brahmana, who can describe your good fortune? You have a desire to worship the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna." And then Mahaprabhu explained about the different ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. And that in Kali Yuga, the method of attaining perfection was chanting the holy names of Krishna. And he quoted, "Kalo nasteva 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 gatiyana yata." Then he said, "Constantly chant the Lord's name in any situation. Even the Vedas fail sufficiently to describe the super excellent qualities of chanting Krishna's name. Listen, my dear Misra. In Kali Yuga, there is no need for severe penances, sacrifices. Only by this process of chanting, you will be crowned with the greatest fortune and the greatest success. So go back to your home and worship Sri Krishna with undeviating faith and attention, giving up all duplicitous material desires." Two points struck me in this. First, give up all duplicitous material desires. For a devotee, all material desires are duplicitous, subtle and gross. And the Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Paramam Namatsaranam Satam, it kicks out all duplicity in religion and establishes as the methodology, the Abhideya Tattva, the process of achieving pure love for Krishna. It is not exactly devotional service, but it is Anya Bilasita Sinyam Gyanakama Anavita. It is pure devotional service. So he says, give up all duplicity, all material desires, which by their very nature for a devotee are duplicitous. Because in the form of worshipping Krishna externally, there are other things lurking in the heart. And by chanting the holy name of Sri Hari Krishna, you will simultaneously attain the proper spiritual practice and the ultimate goal. And then he said, I am now repeating this great chant for deliverance to you. This consists of 16 names of the Supreme Lord with 32 syllables. And then he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. By constantly chanting and worshipping this Maha Mantra, your heart will feel the first blossoming of Krishna Prema. Then gradually you will understand the truth about this proper spiritual path and the ultimate spiritual goal. Now, what did Mahaprabhu tell him? Give up duplicitous desires. He said, go home and chant. He had just come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was a completely sincere soul. The last thing he wanted to do was go home and chant. What he wanted to do was stay always with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was completely natural. So he said to Mahaprabhu, please let me stay with you. And Mahaprabhu told him, where did he send him? To Benares. He sent Tapan Misra and he sent his dear devotee from Nabadweep, Chandrasekhar, to Benares immediately. This Tapan Misra had basically a few minutes of association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. He gave him the Maha Mantra and he sent him away. Mahaprabhu left Nabadweep after putting on everyone in ecstasy. And he left. He went traveling and then he went to Puri. He left them all. And then he himself practiced this process of separation. So the two things, which means separation from Krishna, which means very, very personal relationship, this should be developed. And to do that, Anya bilasita sunyam, the duplicitous material desires have to go. And how to attain this? We chant Hare Krishna and try, and what we'll be speaking of in these days is the methodology of doing this and raising our consciousness. So he said, go to Benares.
Is that reference, please?
This reference?
Yes.
From Chaitanya Bhagavat. Madhya 14, the story is there, the pastime is there. So then he embraced Tapan Misra and he was filled with ecstasy. But then he sent him to Benares. And there in Benares, two times he met him. And for years and years and years and years he lived there, being surrounded by Mayavad philosophy. And it was causing him so much pain. And yet, this was what Mahaprabhu gave him. This was the form that his mercy came in. But his instructions were to chant. This is the methodology. In a proper way, you chant. Srila Rupa Goswami also points to the holy names in his Namastak. There are eight slokas. I'll just read three. The first three. O Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewel of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Sukadev. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. O Harinam, O name sung by the sages, O transcendental syllables that bring bliss to the people, even if you are spoken only once, and even if you are spoken disrespectfully, you at once remove the many harsh sufferings of everyone. O Son of the Holy Name, even the dim light of your early dawn gives the sight of pure devotion to those who are blind to the truth. What learned person in this world is able to describe your transcendental glory? So Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur point us in this direction of taking, chanting Krishna's name. This is our hope. A short quotation from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a letter that he wrote. Sriman Mahaprabhu gave all his power to Rupa Goswami, so prayed to Srila Rupa, to Sri Rupa and his followers, and begged them to bestow Mahaprabhu's mercy upon you. You should especially pray to the personified name to make you worthy of serving him. Through the Lord's name, the Lord of the name, Nama Prabhu, will take up residence in your heart. And then what is the question of darkness? Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar. And finally, there's so many letters and instructions that Prabhupada himself gives. But here is one short quotation from a letter from Srila Prabhupada in 1973. Of course we have to control the mind. And I have already instructed you and all my students that the restless, fickle mind can only be controlled by putting the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. And that can best be done by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And there is no alternative in this age. By chanting without offenses, the devotee cries to Radharani and Krishna to please lift him out of the material energy and put him into the spiritual energy, which is devotional service. So there is hope. The hope is not in our power, but the hope is in the mercy of our great acharyas who are pushing and pushing and pushing us, encouraging us and encouraging us. Our hope is in the holy Dham and getting mercy from that, from the deities, from the Shastra, from the Sadhu Sangha, and from the holy names. So let us hope in a very bold way during this time here. And let us keep our eyes, our ears, and our consciousness open to see how mercy comes to us during this time. Vajrihari, we're about to start in the almost ready to begin the final part of the opening program. But first, I would like to speak a little bit about the writing. Writing and the notebooks. Raise your hand if you have your notebook with you. And a pen, too. Raise your hand if you don't have a pen. Oh. Okay. Yes. And we have impersonal pens here to distribute. We have pens if any... You have yours. Okay. Okay. Now, what we would like to do with these notebooks is at the end, and sometimes at the beginning of different parts of the retreat, we'll have what's called a free writing. which means 10 minutes or 5 minutes sometimes of just writing your impressions of what's going on and how you're feeling about things, what you're experiencing, how you're doing with your hopes, what help you need, anything, whatever is going on. And the only rule in this is to write the whole time, to keep your pen writing, keep your pen moving the whole time, and always something will come. And one purpose of this, and it's a very interesting process, because you'll be amazed at what realizations do come. As soon as we open up, remove the blockages to our communicating more or less with our intelligence and Krishna in this way. So keep writing. So one reason will be to do this is to fix some of the realizations that we'll be getting during our time at the retreat. And a second reason is we'll have a record of how we're thinking during the retreat. This notebook will serve as our record. And then after, when we leave, we'll be able to see how we're thinking and what our realization was and possibly get some inspiration if we so need it. So right now, we're going to do a 10-minute free writing where everyone is requested to, when I say begin, we'll begin. And all you have to do is just write your first impressions of arriving in Barsana, of what's going on, of seeing the sun setting by Sriji Mandir, of whatever. Just keep writing.